This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light.
Hey there, Villa fans. This is the voice of your god, Randy Lerner. It's great to see that Dr. Tony has got Aston Villa well on the path of being a top three club in the world. My, you villains sure are a gullible bunch. I mean, hey, 13th for the championship. Even I managed 11th in my first season in charge, and let me remind you, that was in the Premier League. You'll believe anything an owner says. You believe my proud history, bright future slogan, suckers. Hell, you even fell for my main joke, Tom Fox. Speaking of futures, though, mine's not so bright unless Villa get promoted. Because then Dr. Tony, well, he'll pay me over 30 million big ones. So, I don't hold up much hope of ever seeing that money.
And the home of the brave.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Looks to curl one, and he scores! Cheered just as loudly at Villa Park as it will be at St. James's Park.
Negatron alert. Villa malfunction, 13th in the championship, prepare for relegation to League One next season, sign Jed Evans!
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. On this episode, we thought we'd do a Villa fan a favour. At the game against Brighton, Villa fan Dan Rogers found 50 flags in the lower holt under people's seats. So we thought we'd get him on the show to help him advertise them and try to sell them. You can buy them if you're interested in getting yourself a nice new Villa-related flag on his website, villaunderground.com. Welcome, Dan. How's it going?
Fantastic. I've got a new cottage industry burgeoning from villaunderground.com. So, yeah, hop on over and I'll cut you a deal. I've got some large 3x3 meter ones as well.
Oh, they sound good.
Full wall covering.
I mean, what kind of fool leaves flags under the seats?
I don't know. It was literally, there were children with him. It was like taking candy from a baby. It was great. I rounded up loads.
Well, so how much are you offering for them?
Well, I looked online and there was like a similar, it was like a fan-led initiative. So I've priced them up about 20 quid each. It's great.
That's a bargain. It's a steal.
We'll
talk about those flags a little bit later on. We're referring to the flags that all disappeared, the fan-funded flags.
We jest.
We were jesting, people. The fan-funded flags that, let's say, that could have been a little bit more organised and only kind of mentioned them because there was a lot of whining to Dr. Tony and Keith Wyness. I mean, what's it got to do with them, for God's sake? Supporters are putting on displays and things that should be completely supporter run and led and organised, and they should have the consequences. A bit more planning might have helped. Villa, what's happening? Well, it's the end of the season and we finished 32 points behind Newcastle.
Hooray.
31 points behind Brighton.
Hurrah.
And never mind that, we finished 23 points behind Reading. I mean, how did that happen?
And we bought their best player,
what,
Aaron Tishbowler.
Reading's a bizarre one because you never like even think about them until you look at the league table, and for some, you know, somehow they're up there. And the other consequence of finishing 13th in the lower half of the table, which I don't think many villains would have expected.
No.
Even the most pessimistic villains, 18 points outside the playoffs. I mean, that's abysmal. And to think that Bruce was, I think it was the turn of the year, like five, it depends on the hour, but he was 5-6 points with 32 games to play. So to drop essentially 12 points, that's in this league, which is pretty poor, if you want my opinion, that's a big F for failure.
We were in striking distance and we have fell way short, haven't we, ultimately? And I don't think it's been because of bad luck. I think there's been some pretty dismal football in there too. We've covered that off, really.
Very well. I mean, Dr. Tony on Twitter rated Villa's season out of 100.
What is this formula he's using? I'm not so sure.
59 out of 100 and 60 is a pass.
Which means fail.
I'm sorry,
but...
It means fail, but I think a pass is sixth place. So 59 being 1 point away from 60, I would say our season was in the 30s out of 100 if you were marking it. Considering money spent. Standard of league.
I think where we were, that's the key thing, is we were 5 or 6 points short with 32 left to play. How we didn't manage to get ourselves even, you know, clinging onto the final playoff spot, we know how it happened, but it's got to go down as a major missed opportunity, particularly when you look at the clubs that have got in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about world-beating clubs, are we?
Nah, I don't think
Reading,
so.
Fulham, Huddersfield, I mean, come on, Sheffield Wednesday, I expected them to get in the playoffs.
Mm. Well done to Brighton, but I can't say I've been wowed by them this season particularly. Would you say they were, I mean, granted that the game on Sunday wasn't, you know, they were trying to win the title, but I don't think they busted gut for it, and I think they paid for that. But they're not that good.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody says that Villa's best performance, and I was at the game, was away at Brighton. Mm. And I've got to admit, I wasn't that impressed by both teams. It wasn't that great a game. It was just compared to what else we've been watching that it probably stood out.
The thing about that Brighton game, particularly the way we won, it was a classic Villa game of probably should have won, but we didn't. And that will sum up our season, perhaps.
Should we discuss the game? The only meaning of that game was obviously granting Newcastle the title, which hopefully they'll be thankful for and forget about the fact that we relegated them a couple of times, or not ultimately well relegated them, but kind of wound them up as we pulled the mat from underneath their feet in a deciding game.
Funny how football goes like that, where you see things. It's like it goes full circle, doesn't it? That literally 10 minutes before, if you'd have asked a Newcastle fan, what do you think about Aston Villa? And that they probably wouldn't have had a nice thing to say about us. And then Grealish, the messiah, emerges for them.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few Newcastle fans tweeting Grealish's goal as the defining moment that won them the league. That's very nice. Hopefully they'll sign him next season. Oh, sacrilege alert, sacrilege alert.
No, don't say that about Jack.
He's our saviour.
What do you think of the sending off?
I can sort of see why the referee gave it live, because, you know, the speed of the game and whatnot. But then you sort of look at it and he got the shot away and then he makes the tackle from what I see from the slow-mo. Is this a classic case of modern fanism where we can analyse in the millisecond?
I think you see Baker do him on purpose. Mm. There's no way he knows he's gone for, so I think he's just trying to put him off the shot.
He didn't protest either, did he?
No, he didn't protest. No. And when you watch it with your head rather than your heart, you know he's clipped him on purpose just to put him off the shot, because he's, you know, he's staring down the barrel of the gun there.
Well, the guy got the turn on him, didn't he? The way the ball broke, he got the right side of he got in between Baker and the goal, and then Baker sort of had to. It was one of those where he probably realised if he could take the guy down, he would take the red, and he sort of got there as it happened after he took the shot, but the referee took a different view.
There's still confusion about, because the law changed regarding triple punishment, but is that only if it's intended, completely intended? that he gets a straight red, or is it still just a yellow because it's triple punishment?
I actually don't know.
Neither do I.
I really don't know where I sit on that, because I was trying to, because live it was impossible to tell live, and that's where I sympathise with the referees. But thinking about it now and how it turn it round the other way, I think as Villa fans we would we have expected a penalty for that? Would, you know, in retrospect, maybe we would have done.
No, I'm saying that it's a penalty. But do you give him a yellow card because of this triple punishment rule? Because other people have done similar things and just got yellows for it.
Well, unless you're Man United and you're Vidic and you get nothing.
Still sore after all these years.
For me, it wasn't a cynical, horrible thing. Yellow would have sufficed. I was surprised live to see the red come out, I must admit.
What going down to 10 men does seem to do is spark Jack Grealish into life for the second time in a few weeks. He did the old cut in on his right and bend it into the far post.
Nice of the goalkeeper too. It was like pushing the wrong button on FIFA, wasn't it? And he sort of did a knee slide. No. Oh, shit. And then he proceeded to cry for about half an hour, so...
He was gutted. The thing I liked about that, and also throw in the way that Newcastle celebrated, was actually seeing players celebrate winning something and, in Brighton's case, kind of commiserating they'd lost something.
Yeah, I think the funny thing I noticed at the time, because I'm a bit boring like this, is that I noticed that the Brighton players were lying down, talking, you know, at the end of this was at full time, and Stockdale's crying into the turf, and the first players to go across to him were Villa players, and he was inconsolable, wasn't he? And it was interesting that the Brighton players had basically turned their backs on him.
Well, I can't blame him.
Bastard. What the friggin' hell?
I mean, of all the times to pull out the kind of John Travolta knee slide trick, that probably was not the time.
Do you know what? The second he did what he ultimately did, he knew, didn't he? Because his reaction, he completely misjudged. I thought it was a good shot by Grealish, to be fair. I thought it was...
Yeah, but I think the keeper was expecting it to deflect off a defender or be cleared.
He didn't expect to have to react to it, did he?
Yeah, he kind of took his eye off the ball for that moment, and that was him done. Looking back at the defining things about the game, not that there was that much, to be honest, especially in the first half, was the fact that we actually forced 7 corners after we berated the fact that we only got 1 in each of the last couple of games against the Blues and Blackburn.
Yeah, it's progress, baby.
And, you know, fired off a few shots. I mean, some of them were kind of token gestures, granted, but a bit more of an improvement, and we seemed to play better with 10 men, I thought.
Yeah, I thought Grealish played a pretty big part in that. I thought the movement of Davis was... They couldn't deal with it, really, and they couldn't deal with his physicality and his movement across the particular... from right to left, and as Hourihane and Lansbury got, strangely with 10 men, they almost became unshackled, didn't they? They became Hourihane particularly was ghosting around quite happily. It was that final bit of clinical finishing, wasn't it, or that final third, which shock horror wasn't quite there, but we were making stuff, and that raised an eyebrow for me, because in the absence of Codger, we've really struggled with that this season.
Yeah, I think Bruce said post-match that they were just really wishing for Codger to be there in that game, because I think he would have, he'd probably have definitely got his 20th goal, league goal of the season.
I think he'd have had good success in amongst that Brighton defence. Do we want to talk about Davis a little bit and what we thought? Granted, we only saw 45 minutes, but interesting to contrast to the limited 45 that Hogan had before his injury.
Yeah, what did you think of Davis? I mean, people are starting to big him up already, and it's, come on, it's a bit too,
you can't,
a bit too early. I mean, I've seen him a few times in the under-23s.
Well, we saw him, didn't we, against... You've seen him a couple of times. We saw him together at... It was Celtic who we saw against. Didn't make a big impression, but then any number of players didn't really that evening. My first observation was that once he got settled, and it did take him a bit of time, I think he worked out that he had the physical... He was a physical match for the Brighton players. And as his confidence grew, I think his hold-up play was good. His The thing that I noticed about him was the movement. So he would receive the ball, move, and then he'd be 10, 15 yards across the pitch. And that really did open up Brighton, I have to say, particularly because we had the 10 men. His enthusiasm was plain to see, I thought.
Yeah, even though earlier on in the season we had about 6 strikers, and they all seem to evaporate in front of our eyes. One thing we currently haven't got is that guy to hold the ball up. I mean, that's something that Benteke could do, but Codger can't really. Codger's more goes direct and tries to fashion a chance for himself. I mean, Hogan's running onto things that aren't happening. Yeah, so we're lacking somebody who can buy us a little bit of time by holding it up and allowing the midfield to obviously get involved and catch up.
I think his performance makes him an option now. I don't think it becomes, you see these ridiculous headlines, Davis must pick, Nixon. Yeah. That's bollocks. The kid needs time to develop. And, I think we saw in the fact that he had two or three fantastic opportunities and either the occasion, the adrenaline of the moment overcame him, Whereas yeah. I imagine if he was in under 23 level, he's pinging those away, isn't he? Quite comfortably.
Yeah,
it's that clinical step up to the senior level. Having said that, he's put himself into contention, hasn't he? Which is great.
Negatron alert! Keenan Davis has peaked too early! It's all downhill from here! Sell to Wolves! Sell to Wolves!
I mean, there wasn't that much more to talk about, really, the game. I mean, Bakuna getting a bit stroppy because Hourihan wanted to take that free kick.
Let's talk about Bakuna.
He's put a few free kicks away a couple of seasons ago, but he needs to go. He's just living the life of a Premier League football player with his bloody Instagram videos.
Don't stop me.
Rapping away and all that. But I'm not interested. He's him.
It's Billy big time. He's rubbish. He plays for
the Scottish Cafu. Gardner. It's time to start swinging axes.
A huge guillotine. And in the spirit of the French election, we could ship it over. And unless Middlesbrough aren't willing to part with good hard cash for these players, we should need to cut our losses. The Bakuna, he personifies
the symbol.
The failure.
Exactly.
The
averageness.
And it's the sub-average. His petulant reaction to being told, actually, no, you're not taking the free kick. And I hope Hourihan said to him, the reason is, you're shit. You're not having the free kick. We've seen enough of you, Leandro, to know that. And your stupid red haircut. Just go and stand over there, whine and sulk. And the waving of the arms and the childish petulance.
Didn't he got sent off earlier on in the season, didn't he?
For chest bumping. It wasn't a 6-game ban. But it was ridiculous.
I mean, I know he's not the brightest of guys, but
he's single cell.
I mean, this, what's he proved since he's been here? Just the odd flash of technique on a dead ball, and that's about it.
Bang average and...
Yeah, adios.
His temperament last season told us everything we needed to know about him now, and we had another glimpse into his temperament when he didn't get his own way on the pitch. Waving your arms, dismissing the bench, gobbing off to one of your teammates. Well, actually, we're trying to build a team here because a team of individuals has got us plumb nothing for the best part of 20 years. Get rid. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm through with people like him.
Somebody who's definitely leaving Aston Villa is Libor Kozak. Yep. Just never got back after his injuries. It is a bit of a shame because we don't know if he would have been a great player. Technically wasn't that great, but he had heart, and I always remember him celebrating into the crowd. Was it when he scored against Norwich? Correct me if I'm wrong. He seemed a good guy and he was up for it, but it just didn't kind of work out. And, I think if he was fit, he would have had a role at Villa because he did offer
something different.
It's a different
thing, and you don't play for Lazio and be rubbish. That's not to say that you can't, again, you don't know how players are going to come off. Just look at the injuries that they sustained, though, virtually a double leg break sustained in training when Kieran Clark inflicted.
I'd like some statistics on how long it takes him to get injured as soon as he makes a full recovery from his last injury, because it's weeks, isn't it? Or days in some respects.
The roll call is grim for him, really. That injured in January 2014, re-pinned in October 2014. And that's because whoever gave the green light on him having an overseas doctor, I think in the Czech Republic, who didn't advised him to return to training with I think it was one of two of the bones hadn't properly fused, so then he had to have his, had to have that reoperated on. Recovers from that, another year's gone, breaks his foot in the back end of the Remy Gard era. When, if he was going to make any resurgent comeback, that was probably the moment, I suppose. And then, gets back to full fitness February this year before he gets an ankle break. Grim. Yeah.
Must be super frustrating for him on a personal level.
Well, and professionally, I imagine, because you've gone from, you play in Serie A, you've made a big money move to Villa, and, Villa could be a platform for lots of players. Look at Kodja. It can be a springboard onto, you can really be the big fish here. And he never had the opportunity to do that.
I thought you was going to say something. Springboard for a proper club.
We are a proper club. We're going to be... top three in 5 years. No, 4 years. Is it 4 years now? We top. That's what Dr. Tony's promised.
Like that. Seriously speaking, he could have contributed to Villa. Yeah. So it is a bit of a frustration. Talking about, this isn't actually an injury, but it looks like an injury, and it's kind of been spun as something else, allegedly or potentially. What did you think of Steve Bruce turning up at his the last press conference pre-Brighton, like he's had the shit kicked out of him, to put it bluntly? I mean, the excuse of moles. I mean,
I wonder.
He had some problem with his eye. He had grazes both sides of his forehead.
Right.
And you look at pictures before, and if you can find any picture of Steve Bruce with moles, then send them in to at Aston Villa Pod on Twitter, because I haven't seen one. A bit dubious, that one.
It's a bit dubious. I mean, without wanting to examine his personal medical issues, it was a bit of a shock. And he did look like, I thought, was he the other fighter in the Joshua fight? Was he somewhere else on the card? Is a former Aston Villa midfielder involved at all?
I had no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, they've told me to shut up.
But there's something awry there. I'm sure the truth will come out. It always seems to rear its ugly head at some points.
Maybe they were removing potatoes. No, that's low.
Negatron alert. Jordan Amavi, the £25 million player, not detected. Dr. Tony, decimal place error. Return to sender. Return to sender.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Dr. Tony, speaking at some football conference, he's tweeted, did you investigate into that? Because I didn't.
No.
Considering he's only been watching football for about a season,
he's supported us forever. He has. He said so. It must be true.
What, when he was going to buy Southampton and before that? When Albion. He was going to buy Everton as well and Albion.
Then we became available. God.
He's a 4 or 5 club man, always has been. What's the keynote speech of his at the World Football Conference? How to spend 80 million and finish 13th in the championship.
Ooh. Yeah, heads turning into dust. We'll show you the way.
And keynote speech too. What went wrong with Ross McCormack? And so at the end of this, I concluded that maybe we should do some research into the personal lives of our potential transfer purchases.
What fantastic insight.
So the only other thing that popped up on Twitter that was kind of amusing was Craig Gardner's wonderful interview.
The best part of that, them down the road didn't help us. We didn't need any bit of help off them. I'm not even going to mention the name because the way they think they are and it just Blues fans are class people. You don't celebrate when an opposition team score a goal, and where opposition that sums them up. And they're Villa fans wearing Blackburn shirts sums them up. But we didn't need any help off them. We've done it ourselves, and we fought to the end. And we kept right on.
Which it's still bizarre, that one, because he's gone through his whole career when he was at Villa, doing interviews in the programme, talking at media, saying how he's a great Villa fan. And then he just flipped totally. Now he's sticking it to us. And, you know, now you're kind of glad that the Blues did stay up because you're looking forward to seeing him at Villa Park next time.
Good luck with that. It's such a bizarre interview because he starts off by saying, oh, you know, I'm not even going to name them. And about 4 seconds later,
he can't,
his Neanderthal brain spits it out. He's just bitter because he got dumped because he was rubbish in a matter of time before his brother's following him, by the way.
Yeah.
But, you know.
This was a season... I was going to say it was a season to be jolly, but it obviously wasn't. But this was a season for the likes of Grealish and Gardner to really make a statement. And Gardner, certainly, he was kind of pushed much more forward into the team than I expected. Yeah. And well, he delivered next to zero.
He's got to be a goner, really, hasn't he? Not because, not just because his surname, but he hasn't shown anything like enough, has he? He's just been... rubbish, frankly.
You know, when he looks back at his time, he can always embrace the fact that he scored against the Blues at St Andrews. Mm. And but apart from that, you know, underwhelming stuff.
I mean,
unfortunately, because he was somebody you wanted him to do well, especially after all his injury problems, and that has obviously affected his progress. But I'm sorry, but we're a 13th in the Championship team, and there's no time for sentiment anymore. It's time to crack some skulls and get going.
And it's also a good example of the fan base, and ourselves included, you can get wrapped up in this, oh, all the Forest fans are saying he's fantastic and he'll be perfect for the Championship. Perfect for a team that's finished fourth bottom.
Yeah.
That's the level, isn't it, really? It's not going to get you promoted.
I still can't get over this whole finishing 13th in the Championship. I mean, take me back to the days when David O'Leary was signing Tommy Sorensen and Gavin McCann for $2 million each, and we were finishing sixth in the league.
Oh, I lie awake at night dreaming of those days now.
I mean, those
you fickle bastards.
Those were frustrating. Those were frustrating days.
Totally.
And you think we got fucking Sorensen. It was okay. You got a bit of an attitude towards the end, and McCann was this kind of limited defensive midfielder who really couldn't pass, and you just hope for somebody better. But we still
fit
finished
in well now.
Well, exactly.
He'd but slot right in.
Still managed to finish sixth in the bloody season. And
it's
now,
now
we're dumping 12, 15 million on players that, quite frankly, are a load of pish. And you would take Gavin McCann over most of them.
No, don't say it. Don't say it.
And you take Sorensen over Gallini, and Gallini costs like, you know, two or three times more.
That's crazy when you think about it, isn't it? Absolutely crazy. Where is Gallini? Is he alive?
I don't know. No idea. Too inexperienced to gamble promotion from the Championship on, and gamble didn't really work, did it?
Backfired horribly.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Johnson situation. I mean, Johnson, I think he's good enough for what he is. And I think you could get promoted with him, put it that way.
Yeah.
But still, I wouldn't leave anything to chance next season, because as we've already discussed on this podcast before, teams that don't bounce back straight away, that finish bottom in the Premier League, and that's about a third of the teams who actually bounce back, they tend to get stuck. Only one team has returned to the Premier League within a 3-season span if they didn't bounce straight back. So nothing can be left to chance next season.
I mean, I don't dislike Johnson as such, but I think if there's a goalkeeper who is available on the market who is probably circa 30, 35 years old.
Ruddy from Norwich.
Insert name. I'm not gonna say names. I don't know who that person would be genuinely. But I think if that person emerges,
well, Norwich have dumped him. I think that's mainly because they don't want. He's kind of all right, but I don't think they want to. I think he was on Premier League.
Because they've got huge wage issues, haven't they, in Norwich?
Yeah, so that's one thing. But would Villa suddenly start adding to the wage bill that they've already started to reacquire? I don't know.
Well, that would be the question with Johnston, won't it? Because it would be a debate, I imagine, with him is, does he genuinely believe he's going to break into the Manchester United team? From what I've seen, I don't think he's going to be a Manchester United goalkeeper.
No.
If Villa can buy him and get him at the right price, I do think we should take him.
Right.
But I do think he runs the risk of being a number two at the same time if another goalkeeper becomes available. Because I think we do need two goalkeepers.
Yeah, I think we definitely need another keeper.
And I think that perhaps puts Johnston in a funny position, actually, because I think we could buy him and then maybe a Ruddy or, you know, insert name here, does arrive.
Yeah.
And he's bench warmer.
Guzan?
the return of the king.
Guzan.
Brad Guzan. I miss Brad. I miss his...
Well, you told me once that there was somebody who used to sit behind you in the
Gazoon
hole in the bank.
Oh, I hate, in a real Brummie accent, I hate Gazoon. And not with it, with no irony that he genuinely thought that was his name.
Gazoon. It's a classic. We should do a segment called People Who Sit Behind Me and get various Villa fans on to talk about the... There's always some crazy guy or some arsehole who sits behind you.
They won't make the game. There's a guy who sits, you know, in the mid-distance, you know, like you think of your shoulder, you think, who is that? You never make eye contact. And once every game, he'll shout out, referee, I'm a cunt! Just once, you know, regardless of the referee's performance.
One of the specialities of the guy behind you is they pick up on one player and they go after him the whole game.
Well, this is the guy, the same guy who's Gazoon. He would also, I think he'd refuse to say Idrissa Gay as gay, so he'd refer to him as Gee. So, just anything to avoid saying gay.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, I think Grealish has got a few of those guys that single out on him. And there's one guy who's behind me slagging him off. All you can bloody do is just cut inside on the right foot and just bend it.
Goal.
Well, goal. Yeah, as long as he's not passing it, Grealish must have to score those goals where he cuts in from the left-hand side onto his right and curls it in the far post just to shut this guy up. That's probably why he does it.
Do you know what? I love that because it really has that. That's so true about people who sit around you, whether you like them, whether you know them, whether you don't. Some people will just zone in on one player and no matter what they do, they could score an overhead kick in the World Cup final. They'd be like, fucking fluke. It's so true.
Yeah, exactly. So the last burning question of the show is, did you manage to get to Villa Park for that? Is it 10 minutes window to claim a free voucher and get your free Heineken against Brighton?
No.
Pray tell.
No.
Why?
Because it was such a bloody narrow window of opportunity to collect your beer. And I don't frankly need beer with my breakfast, but I tried my very best. I didn't get there in time.
So now we have to twiddle our thumbs over the summer. We'll be bringing you shows still, but one thing we want to make sure we keep this going, and one way is for people who enjoy the show to become patrons of My Old Man Said. If we can get to 100 patrons, then we'll definitely do the show. I think we've got about 30 to go. So go to myoldmansaid.com and click on patrons and find out how you sign up there. Because it's in dollars, and I apologise in advance, that's the only way they do it. I mean, if you prefer, you can donate like £1 a month or something via the PayPal button on the website, and I will include you in all the normal benefits of the patrons.
Friends with benefits.
Not those kind of benefits. In the reward drawers and everything.
G'day Villa fans, and welcome back to Jednak's Jangle. The pride has failed to find the watering hole, as the drought of success begins to bring darkness to the barren lands of Aston. It's time for another merciless cull. Bakuna, Hutton, Gabby, fucking Gardner, you've got an appointment with a vet. It's time to put you sorry beasts down. Hardly big game, but you've suffered enough, and this order's come from the top. Tony wants to be top three in the world. Truth, we couldn't even give you a pathetic carcasses to Middlesbrough this time. So here's to next season. Will we see a new beginning or just another false dawn? This could get brutal. Pray to the god of beards for me, will ya?
So if you were judging Villa, marking them out of 100 like Tony did, what would you give them?
12.
Yeah, I mean... Probably given 5 points for beating the Blues.
I mean, we've spent more money than some countries have, and we're picking Leandro Bakuna.
Here's my little litmus test. Bruce gets the job at the same time as Neil Warnock in October, correct? Same week after 11 games. Mm-hmm. Cardiff were 4 places below us. They were second from bottom.
I remember, yeah.
End of the season, they finish higher than us. Neil Warnock, everybody taking the piss, he's a dinosaur, blah, blah, blah. Does a better job than Steve Bruce. Cardiff spent, over the two winders, combined total of about £2,600,000. Net spend, minus £2.5 million. So they spent, like, just around £2.5 million compared to our £80 million. And... with a manager that no Villa fan would have had, and he finished higher than us, and that just shows that this has been a complete shocker. And we've been saying it all through the season that there's no way we would do anything playing the way we have. And again, I reiterate, we were not talking about playing total football. We were just talking about being effective and actually trying to attack. I mean, you can't have games where you have one corner and one shot on target. It's ludicrous. That's not how you win football games. And how you get promotion is by winning football games. I mean, Steve Bruce does mention what a solid home form we have, but unfortunately our home form was only the eighth best in the league, and when your away form's absolutely bollocks, there's no way you get promoted if your home form's only the eighth best in the league. So there's a lot of bullshit, and you know, the Villa hierarchy now are talking about stability. Like, what does that even mean? Does that mean we stay the same, a mid-table championship team? Because I don't know if Bruce has his powers. Are they starting to ebb away, whatever his powers are? Because Bruce is no good in the Premier League. Let's make that clear. So if we get promoted with Bruce, do they keep him? Because there's a reason why he's got four promotions from the Championship, and that's because he took two of those teams, Hull and Birmingham, straight back down.
Let's remember what the word stability means to the new Aston Villa as well. The word stability doesn't mean the manager stays the same. The word stability means Steve Round and his team of scouts, his team of coaches, and the backroom staff. That's the core golden thread through Aston Villa, if you like. The manager is not stability.
Yeah.
So Bruce, irrelevant of what you think of him, and to be honest, I quite like the guy. I don't mind him. But for all the reasons that you've just said, that's what makes me think, actually, how safe is he going to be if after eight games, tops, I would imagine, Aston Villa aren't looking like bolted on certainties.
Yeah, if they're not in the top, let's say five or six, even after the first, you know, say eight games, I think he's got
massive
problems.
Decision will be there. Yeah.
If there was a great candidate out there now, I'd get rid of Bruce and bring him in straight away. I mean, it'd be a tough decision, but we're talking about the future of the club not being sentimental, and you know, we've messed around for far, far, far too long now, and we just had a new owner in, which was what we were praying for, somebody who was willing to put money into it, and that money we can't write it off just yet because it's early doors, but some of it has been wasted, and you can't deny that.
Negatron alert! Fraud detected! Another faulty Villa striker! Hogan is a non-league player! Hogan is a non-league player!
Well, look at just going off tangent slightly, but in the vein of managers, look at Leicester's decision, probably the most unpopular in-season change of manager in modern times.
Yeah.
Yet what it's returned is the most successful change of a manager in season, you know, across all divisions.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the Warnock example, what Cardiff did. And, you know, all this big and sing and dance about these big plans and everything, and they throw 80 million at it and it just dissolves.
Well, I think it's twofold. I think we're always going to be, not that I don't think we should necessarily, but we're overpaying. But yeah. What are we shipping in wages? I've been intrigued to know. And that's, we're always slightly out of date with the old accounts, aren't we? But
yeah,
what are we shipping there? And what's the plan B? What's the plan B? Because we're, you know.
What do you mean? What's the plan B?
Well, we're fast approaching, as annoying as it is, and people are saying, well, give it time. And I'm an advocate of that to some degree. But I did think that we would get in or around the playoffs this season. And I think the club's hierarchy thought that too. And
they did.
Season two is it's last chance saloon for getting out of the division easily and in some decent financial shape, isn't it? Without leaving things to chance. It's the least desirable. And that's kind of obvious when you think about it. You want to get out at the first attempt. But look at, on a previous podcast, please listen. We've been through the scenarios for teams that haven't got out of the championship at the first attempt. And it was startling to me at the time. Yeah. And on reflection, it's incredibly concerning given we haven't arrived at the end of the season on any trajectory that's made me feel 100% confident.
And we haven't shown any evidence of, okay, we can probably say that we've got a decent enough defence when it's concentrating. But apart from that, there's no evidence of us getting promoted. We're not looking like a team that can get promoted. And we need a better preseason than we have previously because they will look very rushed over the last couple of years. And you know, Sherwood's first season, only pre-season, that just smelt like a disaster because you just got this feeling when the season kicked off that these players needed, you know, three more weeks of pre-season games just to have any chance.
I mean, if that's one thing that we can perhaps Look, as a good thing is that Bruce will have the summer to prepare the squad as a whole. The huge drawback is the likelihood is we won't have Codger fit or in a natural pre-season. The other real elephant in the room is my prediction, and it's not a prediction that I state with any great joys. I think there'll be turnover of players again, and that is not so cohesive, I don't think, to starting the season in any great shape. Plus, we lose Jedinak so early in August for 2 weeks. So that's a worry.
But there's bigger concerns also that Hogan looks like a sick note. And there's, you know, this is one of the major outlays of the club, obviously, in January. And Codger not being fit, okay, that's not a problem. We should have a team, sorry, should have a squad to get promoted. Jedinak, well, he's getting old anyway. Mm. So, and you know, you can't rely on him. If you've got Jedinak in your team, all you're doing is making it a bit more solid. It's, you're still not solving anything in terms of going forward. Take Jedinak out of the team, then that maybe frees up a player to be more of a attacking threat. And, you know, you suddenly turn what Aston Villa is and they can play a different way.
We've got to learn to do things despite not having certain players. It's like when Codger's not in the team, that doesn't mean we don't score. When Jedinak's not in the team, that doesn't mean we go to pieces at the back. It's that's the team bit of this, isn't it, really?
Right, well, we'll be back for further post-season autopsy. We'll do an end of season awards as well, more for shits and giggles. Probably do that one from a pub. And until then, let's get out of here. Get to the beach, Dan, immediately. Sell those flags, get enough money for an air ticket, and let's get out of here. And on a serious note, if you did take one of those flags by mistake, thinking it was a generous offering from Aston Villa PLC, Recon Group PLC...
It's not a Chinese flag. If it's a Chinese flag or a white flag, it's the club's.
If you see a Chinese flag at Villa Park, you can take that one for free. But the other flags have been fan-funded, so...
Give them back.
Give them back at the start of the season. Bring them back.
Wave them.
Wave them. Use them. That's what fans contributed and donated money for. Right. That's enough of the public announcements. Until next time, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Keep right on.
You can't say that on this show.
My old man said...
Right, this week we will do a Mom's QT, Mom's Question Time. So if you want to send your question in on Twitter to @AstonVillaPod, just put the hashtag MomsQT and we will, if it's a good one, or even just a general one, we'll...
Or a funny one. Funny ones will get on.
Funny ones are good. We'll get together this week and go through them. Maybe angle them as like end of season or looking ahead to the new season.
Yes.
Stroke pre-season. Let's look forward and not backwards, preferably.
And self-help. We do self-help as well.
Self-help as well, of course. But we may charge for those questions. if you have any comments or feedback or anything like that, do please send us a tweet also. And, you know, if you really love the show, please do a little review on iTunes as well. All that kind of stuff helps. And subscribe. Whatever format you're on, subscribe. That's where you get the heads up as soon as the new show drops. And let's build it for next season. The final push. The promotion season, hopefully.
Over the top to the Premier League.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.